Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Steve with PetGroomer.com and Groomer Talk Radio. We're glad to have you back. I'm going to go over a few announcements first. For those of you who are listening live in the next few days after this recording appears, we do have some contests going on. We have a Pay It Forward with Lobby iClip clippers available. Just come to the Groomer Talk message board and you can easily enter to win, one for yourself and one to pay forward. We are also going to have more clippers available in September and October, once again on a pay it forward basis, and those will be courtesy of Wall Clippers. So be sure to come by. We also, if you can get in before Labor Day, we are giving away $50 worth of sharpening with Jeff Andrews of Northern Tail Sharpening. So please be sure to come by. Easy, you just post your name on the board. You'll find a thread. Can't make it much easier than that. Today, I'm pleased to say that we're going to have with us Ellen Ehrlich. Many of you have know her from her writings, and she was a member of the Groomwise bloggers, and she's also a member of Groomer Talk for several years. Ellen is, of course, an author. After becoming a groomer with her business, the Royal Canine Mobile Grooming, and she has brought herself to what, Ellen, now another book, and what a nice book this is. And so I wanted Ellen to come and tell us what's going on with her and about her book. I'm going to unmute you, Ellen.
Oh, there you go.
Ellen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, welcome, and thank you for coming to Groomer Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. I'm for everyone, I'm a little bit, we're trying a new voice system here. I'm getting used to it, so I had to relearn things all over. They keep changing things, those programmers. So I'm steady now. Ellen, tell us a bit from your perspective, how and why you first got into pet grooming. Let's go back to your beginning there.
Well, it all started for me back in 2002. Our family brought a standard poodle home. And we brought a standard poodle home for two reasons. They don't shed, and they were smart. And that is how I learned about grooming. All I knew about grooming before we got a standard poodle was when I was a kid, we had two mutts, and we took them in the backyard, and we washed them with a hose, and we took them to the vet to have their nails clipped twice a year, and that was my conception of grooming before I got a standard poodle. So that's how it all started for me back in 2002. In 2005, I started to look at the poodle, and I started to think to myself, when I would take him to be groomed, I started to think to myself, you know, that looks like fun. That looks like something that I would like to learn. And that's how it all started for me when I got that standard poodle puppy back in 2002.
And then where did you go for your education?
Well, I think what happened was I sat down and I Googled dog grooming. And at that moment, I felt like I got hit by a bolt of lightning. Because when I started to read about grooming and I started to see the big picture about it, you know, I loved animals and I'm very artistic, and I saw that I could have my own business. I was fascinated by the styles and the techniques and the products and the tools. And when I started to read about it, I was hooked. And I just could not stop reading about it. In fact, one of the things that happened to me was I wound up on PetGroomer.com. And that became my go-to place. And I have to tell you, Stephen, that PetGroomer.com, I would say, had a huge effect on my career. I can remember back, way, way back, when I was in grooming school, I would sit and I would read about grooming, and I would go back and I would look at all the threads, and I couldn't get enough of it. And because of PetGroomer.com, it showed me where I could go to school, all the products and the tools. It showed me, it taught me about grooming conventions and grooming shows. And I just, you know, and I just want to thank you for having a forum like PetGroomer.com, you know, for people that are interested in getting in the business, or even people like myself. You know, there is always something to learn. And even to groomers who are shy and they're not interested in writing, they can certainly read the questions and answers of others. So on behalf of myself, and I'm sure thousands of groomers all around the world, I just want to say thank you for putting together such a great site for everybody. There's something on there for everyone, and I just want to thank you, Stephen, for that.
No, you're welcome. I appreciate, always appreciate hearing it. And that was always, you know, our goal. Because like you, I remember when my parents, there was no information sources back in the 60s and really the 70s. And, oh, my gosh, to be groomers these days, I go, look, at, let's help do that. Let's make this go from where the heck do you get an information to, boy, this is just amazing, all this information. So I know it has worked so well, and as you say, it really helped with you. And that's what we like to hear. That's what makes it all worth it, you know. So you're not
and
coming
you know
into
what,
a career in the dark.
It's not just about the information, too. I have to tell you that I have made so many friends from PetGroomer.com. In fact, I can think back to so many people back to 2005 and 2006 that I met through PetGroomer.com. That I got to meet at the shows, and I still know those people today, and they become very important to me, and not only learning about grooming, but also in building relationships with groomers all over the place. It just is a great opportunity, not just for learning, but for also making friends everywhere you go.
Great. I agree. I have, now I look back, what this is year 16. It's pretty amazing that PetGroomer.com's been around that long. We would have never thought that. But I've made a lot of friends myself over the years.
You know, it's funny. I have to laugh when I think back. I have over 3,000 posts on PetGroomer.com.
Yes,
and
that's
when
correct.
I look back, I was never shy, and I'm still not shy today. But that's how much I enjoyed PetGroomer.com, and I still do.
That's right. Well, we can maybe get you eventually at the Club 5000 t-shirt. Who knows?
Oh, you never know. I'd love
that. Well, tell us, I think we should go back because it's, for some listeners, this is going to be their first experience with you. Like I said, we get a lot of career seekers every day. You know, someone says, you know, I want to check out grooming. I never thought about that. So let's go back with your first book for a moment, and I know we're going to talk about your new one, but let's go into what made you write your first book generally.
Okay, well, I'll tell you really how it all started, and it's really so funny and so simple. I had been grooming for 2 years. I started in 2006, and in 2008, I have no idea what possessed me to do this, but I remember just laying in bed one night watching TV, and I wrote a very, very simple outline of my business. And I had this outline, and I was going to Intergroom in 2008, and I thought that I had something, but I wasn't sure what it was. I thought maybe I had a seminar. A book never occurred to me. But anyway, I went to the grooming show. I went to Intergroom with this outline under my arm, and I was just a nervous wreck because I thought I would try to find someone who would give me some advice on what to do with it. And, of course, I happened to spot Daryl Connor at the show, and at the time I didn't know her, but I knew she was a writer, and I knew she was nice, and so I went up to her, and I explained what I had, and she said, sure, you know, let me take a look at it. And so I gave it to her, and then I heard back from her, and all she said to me was, write a book. And she said, when she said that to me, I thought to myself, you know, wow, you know, like, I've never written anything before in my life. I can't even type. But I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to try. And I spent the next year of my life writing down everything that I knew about mobile grooming. And that's how I wrote the first book, Go Mobile and Succeed. It just started from a simple outline, and all I did was try. And I tried my hardest. And I have to say, you know, it was the first book written in the grooming industry on running a mobile grooming business. And, you know, it was really a success and very popular, and that's how I got started. All I did was try.
And then that even became a seminar, and I think that's available on the TV now too, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Say that again, Stephen. I can't hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, perfectly now.
Okay. Okay, good. And that also became, you really went on the road with a seminar with that book as well, and I believe there's a DVD of that available too.
Yeah, let me just, before I get into that, let me just back up because I'd like to sort of explain how my career unfolded.
Okay, sure.
Because after I wrote the book, I said to myself, you know what, maybe I'll sign up for a blog on petgroomer.com, which I did do. And then after I signed up for it, I was terrified because I thought to myself, oh my God, you know, now what have I gotten myself into? You know, what am I going to write about? And I've gone on to write over 100 essays on grooming through my blog. And you know what I realized when I started blogging was that I was inspired about the things that I did every day, the simple things that I did when I was grooming, when I was meeting my customers, when I was interacting with the pets. I was inspired about the most simplest things that I did. And that was how I started blogging, and I started to realize how much I loved writing, how important it was to me. And one of the benefits is that I was able to share a lot of the information that I knew with other people, and that made me feel really, really good. From the blogging, I started to have opportunities to speak. And, of course, at the time, I don't know if people know this about me, but I was absolutely terrified to do any sort of public speaking. In fact, I was the person who, you know, I would just be a nervous wreck if I had to say my name. But I knew that if I didn't do anything about my fear of speaking, I was going to hurt my career. So I spent the next 6 months in Toastmasters. People need to know that the way I see it is I had to put my heart into every single thing I did to conquer my fears, to reach my potential in my career and the things that I've accomplished. I have done my best and worked my hardest, and it's actually been a labor of love. I went on to speak at every major grooming convention for the last few years, and you know what? I've gotten to really, really love it. I went to cat grooming school. I became a certified feline master groomer. I actually had Animal Planet call me one day when I was working, and which was a huge surprise to me to have Animal Planet call me. They called me on a Monday. We met on a Thursday, and we shot the episode from the show was called From Underdog to Wonder Dog. We shot that on a Thursday in my van, and I was actually grooming on the show. And, of course, being on Animal Planet was something I never expected, and that was a real highlight in my career. I've been nominated for many awards in the grooming industry. I never thought that would ever happen to me. And I guess what I want to tell callers is that one of the things I like to do when I speak at shows and talk to groomers is I want to share the information that I know about grooming. But what I really want to do is I want to motivate and inspire people to go out and follow their dreams. And if they want to go to grooming school, they should go out and make it happen. But as I said, it's not just about going to grooming school. It's about going out and following your dreams. That's what I did, and it was the best thing I ever did, Stephen. You know, everyone knows me. I'm committed to grooming, the grooming industry. I want to help groomers succeed and do well. And that's been the driving force of my life since I sat down at that laptop in 2005 and Googled dog grooming. It's been the defining definition of my life being in the grooming industry. I love it.
And so that's when, to bring this back, so now you've sort of perfected that somewhere in the sense that you've even given it to us in a DVD format, correct?
Well, I'm sorry, I can't hear you, Stephen. Just say that again.
So, can you hear me better now?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Okay. So then people can catch up with that have missed your seminar with the Go Mobile and Succeed, and that's why you now have a DVD of that available.
Right. Well, what I did was I took a look at my book, Go Mobile and Succeed, and I said to myself, I can develop a seminar from that. And what I did was I used it, you know, I used it as sort of an outline, and I spent a couple of months developing that seminar, and that is a two-hour DVD seminar. I also gave that seminar at every major grooming convention, Hershey, All-American, Atlanta Pet Fair. So I have a Go Mobile and Succeed book, and I have a Go Mobile and Succeed DVD available, and that is, you know, loaded with information about how to run a mobile grooming business, you know, from A to Z.
Great. Now, your newest book.
Right.
Why don't
well,
you tell
I,
us a little bit about that?
I would love to because I'm really excited about it. I would say this is the first new business book out in the grooming industry, and I can't remember how long. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, it's funny because it was the opposite of Go Mobile and Succeed. I had the seminar, and I gave the seminar, you know, the last year I've given it once again at every major grooming convention. I just gave it the All-American, and when I was done, everybody applauded, which really made me feel good. And I just had Todd ask me if I would give it at Rhode Island, and I'd be happy to do that. But what I did was I took a look at the seminar that I had. People really seemed to like it, learn a lot from it. I looked at the seminar, and once again, a little grooming light bulb in my head went off, and I said to myself, I know I can write a book on this seminar. So I took the seminar, and I used that as an outline for my book. And I started it last fall, and I finished it late spring. I worked on it for 7 months. And so what I did was, that book took me 7 months. I just finished it. It's called The Successful Pet Groomer. And it's only been out a couple of weeks. People seem to really love it. I've got, you know, over two dozen testimonials on my website now. I think it's really going to change the way, this is my goal, is after they read the book or you see my seminar, I want you to look at your business completely differently. I know I can help you improve your business, make more money, be happier, work safer. There's just so much in there that, I don't know. Anyway, people seem to really love the book, and it's doing great, and I'm very, very proud of it.
Now, I've heard you use the terms that motivating, inspiring,
right.
and
right.
empowering.
Tell me more
about that.
Well, I don't know what it is. I think it's because I always tell people that I just have a bottomless pit of enthusiasm for the grooming industry. And when you are, when it comes from within, in other words, I mean, I would say I pretty much think and you know, think about grooming 24 hours a day. Because it comes from within, all the things that I do, they're never a chore. It's something that I want to do. And when I talk to people about grooming, it just people can get the vibe from me that I'm sincere. Also, you know, I'm very genuine. In I'm always interested. When I talk to groomers, I'm always interested in them and their business. I love to talk to them about their business. I'm always curious about how they run their business. And I want to help their business be better for them. I think our industry is doing well, but I still think we have a ways to go. And if there's anything that I can do to improve that, one of my little phrases that I've been using is my goal is to make the world a better place for groomers, and that's true. I really do. I want to make the world a better place for groomers.
Great, Ellen. Now, I do want to let the callers know that if you have a question for Ellen, what you do is you hit the number one on your telephone keypad. When you hit that, it sends a little message to me that you're putting your hands up, and that'll let me know to unmute you at the appropriate time, and I'll let you ask talk direct with Ellen. So you just hit the number one on your telephone keypad. So, Ellen, how do you suggest people go about becoming pet groomers?
Well, I can only talk about what I did, is that you got to get online and you got to read. And reading, I mean, I went to grooming school for 600 hours. I never worked for anybody. But I often tell people that I probably learned about 25% of what I know in grooming school. And because I never worked for anybody, I went right into my mobile van when I got out of school. I had to go learn all that information on my own. And I went online, and I can pretty much tell you that, I mean, I haven't read everything there is to read, but I would get up, before I would get up in the morning, I would get on petgroomer.com and I would read. And, of course, we didn't have smartphones then, or I'd probably be reading all day. But then I'd come home at the end of the day, and at night I would read. So if you're interested in going to grooming school, and, you know, we can all learn something by reading, is I would get online and I would read. Also, I would reach out to other groomers in my area. I mean, you know, I'd like to think that groomers are friendly and they're open. In fact, I have a lot of really nice grooming friends here. Call groomers. You know, find out if you can ride along with them. Work in a shop. Be a bather. Find out if it's right for you. But I would say get online and read. Get a job. Ride along with groomers. I would say that's where I would start if I wanted to get into the grooming industry. And also, one more thing, what I did was I went and I looked at the schools. I mean, if there are schools, go out and take a look at them. That's where I would start, Stephen.
I agree. That on-site tour can be so important. You know, in fact, you know, in some states they actually require that the student has toured the facility before they'll let you even enroll. And I think that's a great idea. So,
yep, that's what I did.
But I think what was interesting when I heard that you were going to do a new book, but then when we finally I saw the book, I saw, oh, look, Ellen's moved from mobile grooming to a book that covers mobile, but the house call, the shop, and the home. Why don't you
right.
tell us a little bit more how that thinking developed in you to go across the board to all groomers?
Well, the book is pretty much divided up into three. The first part of the book is devoted to running a business, and you know, these are principles in the book that can be used for any groomer. I teach you how to restructure your business, how to reorganize your business. I explain to you how I've been able to create teamwork customers. I can pretty much tell you that all the dogs I groom, the owners brush and comb the dogs out the night before I get there. I mean, I have a dream business now, and that's what I wrote down. I knew I was onto something because in the morning when I get up and I look at my appointment book, I like what I see. And when I talk to groomers and they look in their appointment book and they dread, something has got to change. So the first part of the book is the business portion of the book, and that explains how to run a mobile grooming business. And this is for any groomer, shop, home, house call, or mobile. The middle part of the book is the occupational hazards of grooming. Now, when I got into grooming in 2005, this was never mentioned to me. No one said a word to me about the occupational hazards of grooming. And when I started grooming lots of big dogs. In fact, you know, the first week in my van, I groomed a St. Bernard that weighed more than I did. You know, I'm not a very big person. And I started to realize that if I kept grooming those big dogs, I was going to be in for an early retirement. So when I started writing this book, and this is something I've been talking about for 2 years, I actually started talking about the occupational hazards of grooming when I was when I started doing webinars. I would talk about the occupational hazards of grooming. But groomers need to know, and I'm talking to the younger groomers, because the older groomers, well, not that it's too late. You know, you can always wear a mask and wear eye protection and not lift heavy dogs. I mean, that's all common sense. You've got to prevent. Because I've been online since 2005, and I've traveled to a lot of grooming shows, many, many grooming shows. I probably go to, I don't know, 4 to 6 grooming shows a year. And most of the groomers that I talk to, everybody's got an injury. In fact, a good friend of mine, she just had carpal tunnel surgery on both hands. And that is something that I would like to change in the industry. You know, I'd like to see more people aware of the occupational hazards of grooming and doing something about it. You know, wearing a mask, wearing goggles, wearing ear protection, and also using a trimmer. I'm a big proponent in using a trimmer. If you can, get that heavier clipper out of your hand and use a trimmer. So the middle part of the book is about the occupational hazards of grooming, and then the third part of the book is called the 60-Minute Groom. And it's basically a tips and tricks. What I do is I take you through the kind of dogs that I groom, the tools that I use, the techniques that I use, and a lot of it is time management, because I've been talking to a lot of groomers, you know, that just went to my seminar at the All-American, and they said, my biggest problem is time management. And so, as I said, the third part of the book is about time management. It's about the 60-minute groom, because to me, I mean, I'm mobile, and I think, and not just for mobile, but to me, the holy grail of grooming is the 60-minute groom. I'm looking for a 60-minute groom, and what I do is I take you through how I do it, and then in the back of the book, which is really helpful, and this is something all groomers should have, there's an appendix in the back of the book. And in the back of the book, I've got sample forms, waivers, price increase letters, owner tips, resources, and there's also throughout the book, there are vendor links and websites. So the book is like a complete package the way I see it, and that's what the book is about.
Great.
How
does
that sound?
That sounds...
And also, I have to add one more thing, Stephen.
Sure.
I think people like to read my writing because of my writing style. And the way my family sort of phrases it is they tell me I'm folksy. I don't know what it is about the way I write. I think it's because I'm not really a trained writer. You know, I write from my heart. I write the way I think. And it's something that other groomers can relate to because I'm like them. I'm not a trained writer. I write from my heart. And so the way the book is written, in addition to being you know, full of information, it's fun to read, and it's funny. And so I've also had a couple of groomers that have the book tell me they've read the book twice, which is real. I take that as a compliment. So not only is the book fun and interesting, interesting to read, it's also fun to read. I mean, if you've got a boring book, no one is going to read that. But the book is fun to read, and that's what people tell me, and I'm very happy about that.
Tell me more about your viewpoints on customers, and what do you really like or try to stay away from in customers?
Well, you know, I have this in the book. In my business, I am looking for a particular customer. You know, I'm looking for a teamwork customer. I'm looking for a customer that's going to work with me. And if that customer isn't going to work with me, I'm going to let that customer go and I'm going to find a customer that does. Because our work is way too hard because, you know, a lot of us see these dogs, you know, every 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, even longer. And one thing I found about grooming is that I really have to enjoy what I'm doing. So I'm looking for a teamwork customer. I'm looking for a customer that's going to work with me. And one of the things in the book is, you know, sometimes you will find teamwork customers, but you can also create teamwork customers. And that is something that I cover in the book. And that is the kind of customer that I'm looking for. You know, as I said, customers that are going to work with me, brush and comb the dogs. And that's what I have now. And that's why my business is such a pleasure, because I get up in the morning and I look at my appointment book and I like what I see. And I want all groomers to get up in the morning and like what they see. I, you know, talk to a lot of groomers, and as I said, they dread. And if I dread something, I let that customer go. I mean, I'm lucky because I'm busy here and my phone rings. I'm going to let that customer go, and I'm going to look for a customer that's going to work with me as a team. And that's how I've built my business, and that's how I'd like to see other groomers run their businesses. I want them to enjoy what they're doing. Because, I don't know, that's how I view going to work every day. I'm lucky, I'm blessed, because I go to work every day and I enjoy what I'm doing.
Yeah, and do you think that being mobile makes that any easier, or it can be done for the shop and the home groomer? Everyone can do it, yes?
Well, I think in shop it's a little bit harder, but, you know, you have to have certain expectations of your customers. And, you know, I've learned in my career in grooming is that you cannot groom everybody. You cannot groom every dog that you see. And so, you know, you have to look at the dog and you have to say, is this a good customer for me and my business? And if it's not a good customer for you and your business, then let that customer go. And I would say when you're building a business is to build the business slowly. I mean, of course, we all want to make money and we have bills to pay. But, you know, there's something about grooming. I think it's because, you know, you've got the owner, you've got the groomer, and you've got the pet, which makes for sort of a triangular relationship. You want to build the business right. You know, you'd like to say, especially in a shop, because sometimes these shops are huge and they groom everybody, but for house call and mobile and smaller salons, you can be a little more selective. I mean, that's why mobile works really well for me, because in mobile, even in house call, you know, you're only going to be able to groom a certain amount of dogs a day, or, you know, in your clientele. So, but you can certainly take some of the principles that I share in the book and apply it to your business, even if you're a busy shop.
Let me also remind our callers again, we've had some new ones come in, that if you do have a question for Ellen, besides just listening on the phone, which is fine, but if you do have a question for Ellen, just press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and that'll send a message to us, and we'll get to you in order when we get to answering questions. Okay, Ellen, what changes have you seen in grooming styles?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've seen is the Asian grooming styles. I mean, if you're on the Internet, these are coming from overseas. You know, we're lucky because, you know, we're in the computer age, and now, you know, everything is so close. You can go online and you can click just about anywhere, and I love the styles, those Asian grooming styles. So, you know, if groomers out there who are listening are not aware of these styles, you know, get online, check it out. It's a lot of fun. In fact, I see some groomers are making these styles their new normal styles. And one of the benefits, if you're you know, doing these trims, is that people are going to notice it. And you could make quite a name for yourself. You could even charge more money, you know, if somebody wants one of these Asian styles. Is, you know, you can make a name for yourself, and you can build your own clientele, and you can promote that. So I love the Asian styles. I think, you know, now that they're so new now, I think the best way to promote that is to take pictures, you know, from the Internet, show your customers these pictures, see if they're going to get on board, and if they say yes and their neighbor sees their pet in this adorable Asian style with those little round muzzles and those full legs, you can be sure these neighbors and friends and relatives, they're going to be calling you to groom the dog. So get online, check out these Asian styles, give it a try. I think it's fantastic. It's a lot of fun for groomers because, you know, we're all tired of doing the old teddy bear head and this and that. So get online, check out these Asian styles. It's really a lot of fun, and I'd like to see this grow. And it makes it a little more interesting and fun for the groomers.
I agree, and that is just another indication of the power of the Internet, because can you imagine how long in the old days without our such rapid communications it would to have gotten just this even early awareness of these Japanese styles. So, we have a forum on Groomer Talk about them, and now there's a Facebook places you can go. It's just amazing, and I agree with you entirely. That could really set you off and something to add to your advertising, certainly to put on your website, whatever. It could be very
distinguishing. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, we sort of in our book talked about from problems to profits, and there are problems out there. So from your viewpoint as a writer helping people with the business side, what are some of the mistakes you see groomers making today?
Well, I will tell you the biggest mistake that I see is that people that are starting out in new businesses, if they think that starting out, some people might say, well, you know what, I'm going to charge a little bit less when I'm starting out. And this is something that when groomers do this, they look back and they realize it was a mistake. Because when you're starting out at a business, what I did was I went right to the top. I asked for what I wanted the first time. Because if you start out a business, and it doesn't matter if you're shop, home, house call, or mobile, and you charge less than you feel you should, I'll tell you what's going to happen, is that your business is going to fill up with lower-paying customers. And then when you try to raise those prices, it's very, very hard to raise prices. So I would say to anybody that's starting out, ask for what you want the first time. If you're new and you want to offer something, offer a free service like a blueberry facial or a nail buff or something like that. Give away a free service. But if you're starting out in a new business, ask for what you want the first time, because if you start out with low groom fees and you fill up with lower paying customers, as I said, it's very, very hard to raise those prices, and this is a pitfall I've seen over and over again, and that's why I mention it to groomers. Ask for what you want the first time.
Exactly. Good advice. Any other mistakes besides that?
I can only think of, you know, mobile mistakes, driving too far, things like that.
Uh-huh.
But I would say generally the biggest mistake I've seen is starting out with low groom fees. Always ask for what you want the first time.
Yep, I agree. And how about the industry? What are we doing? What changes do you think we need to make in the industry?
Let me see. What changes do we need to make? Well, I would tell you, if there was one thing that I would change in the industry, okay, and this is my opinion, is that I would see, okay, this is how I see it. I like to talk about pricing, and I like to compare small dogs to big dogs. I would like to see large dog, haircut dogs, like standard poodles, and any large dog that requires a haircut, move from a breed pricing to an hourly. Because, you know, I read a lot online, and I talk to groomers at the shows, and, you know, sometimes I'll read that, and this is just an example, if someone is doing a Shih Tzu for $50, and they're grooming a standard poodle for $100. Now, when you think of, you know, the labor and the time that's involved with grooming a standard poodle versus a Shih Tzu, to me, the groom fees, if it's $50 versus $100, it doesn't jive. So groomers, I'd like to see groomers out there look at their pricing structure, and I'd like them to take a look at the big haircut dogs, and I would like to see them switch from breed to hourly. And, you know, and when you mention this to groomers, a lot of times a lot of groomers will say, well, if I really charged hourly for a standard poodle, they're afraid the customers are going to go elsewhere because, of course, the price is going to go up. And I'll tell you what I would say is that I would say, let that customer go someplace else and fill in that grooming slot with another Shih Tzu, because I can probably do 3 Shih Tzus in the time it takes to do a standard poodle. So in terms of cost-effective, to me, grooming small dogs is more cost-effective. But for groomers that do big dogs, if you can change over to hourly, that is going to make it all worth it. It's going to make the scale more even in terms of the owner, the groom fee, and the groomer. I'd like to see the groomers make more money for these big dog haircuts. Am I explaining that, Stephen?
Yeah. I see where you're going with it. I think also that you're a strong proponent of trying to get clientele, which will make you even happier. Like you said, you're co-working with the clients, which I like that mentality, on maintenance schedules.
Right.
Some people say, I just can't do that. I don't know. It's hard to do. How do you do that? So I think that's in your new book, right? You talk a lot about maintenance scheduling and it helps them, because some really don't have an idea. And I think it's a big problem. You know, groom a dog and just wait till they call back, whatever. You're just adding more stress and making it hard that way. Tell me about your maintenance scheduling.
Well, you know, I do ask all my customers to be on a maintenance schedule, because if they're not on a maintenance schedule and they're having the dog groomed, you know, 2 or 3 times a year, well, you know what's going to happen is you're probably going to be shaving that dog down. And, you know, a lot of people can't afford grooming. I totally understand it. But it's not about that. It's about if you want to have your dog groomed 2 or 3 times a year, that's fine. All you have to do is pick up a brush and comb and brush and comb the dog out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with my customers. You know, I used to be a little more strict about having my customers on a tight schedule. I'm a little more slack now. And the reason why I'm a little more slack now is because if they're willing to brush and comb the dog out the night before I get there and the dog doesn't have any knots or tangles, that's fine for me. I mean, you have to work as a team with your customers. You both have to be flexible on both sides and meet in the middle. But, you know, that depends on the groomer. But as I said, my dogs are on a grooming schedule, but I'm flexible. But my customers are also teamwork customers. I'm lucky because I'm mobile. I don't like shaving dogs down. It makes me upset that the owners don't take care of the dogs. And in terms of shaving dogs down, I mentioned this in the book, I think the only way to avoid having the dog shaved down is when you're shaving down a dog, charge a very high groom fee. And then explain to the customer, if you bring the dog back in a reasonable amount of time, it's going to cost less. So if you sort of like, I don't know if I should say this, but go for their pocketbook, charge them at the top for shaving dogs down, reward them for bringing the dogs in on a maintenance schedule, because I put the dog first. I want the dog to be happy. I hate seeing matted dogs because, you know, the skin doesn't ventilate. A lot of times, you know, they're irritated under there. I feel bad for the dogs. So, you know, try to figure out a way to get your customers on a maintenance schedule, because that's in the best interest of the pet.
Excellent. Okay, what is your opinion of discounts, coupons discounts?
Well, I'm not a big discounter. I mean, I will discount three dogs, you know, as mobile. But I'm not really a big discounter. I mean, people are always asking for a discount. You know, all I can say is, you know, I had three kids, and when I took my three kids to get a haircut, they didn't get a discount. And discounts, you know, I don't know why we discount. This is something else. Oh, sorry. This is something else I'd like to change in the industry. You know, groomers, you know, we're women, we want to please, we want to make everybody happy, we give discounts. But giving discounts is not good for your business. In addition to that, our work is too hard. I mean, we all know what it's like, you know, to stand on your feet all day covered in hair. You know, the dogs and cats, you know, they pee and poop, they try to bite you. I'm mobile, I'm out there in the rain and the snow and, you know, everything else. And I can't discount. You know, a lot of times, you know, the dogs don't want to cooperate. You know, it's hard. But I would like to see groomers, you know, stop giving discounts. I'd like to see them raise their prices, because I think groom fees across the board are too low. Most groomers, from what I've read and when I talk to groomers, they don't raise the groom fee. I mean, I know many groomers. They don't raise the groom fee every year. They have the same groom fee every year for years. And what happens is, if you don't raise your groom fee, what happens is, because of inflation, not only are you not giving yourself a raise because the cost of living is going up, is you are making less money. Now, I don't know anybody who's wants to have a business who not only is not making the same thing, but every year they're making less. So, you know, to you groomers out there, all you groomers, what I'd like to see is have you raise the price $2 or $3 every year. That way people can't complain about $2. And you know what? $2 for every dog you groom, it's going to add up. So discounts, you know, I'm not a big discounter. And in terms of groom fees, raise your groom fees every year, you know, charge for extra services like dematting and deshedding. That was the biggest mistake I made when I started. I didn't charge for those services. Those are just some of the price. I mean, I could talk about pricing all day, but raise your groom fees every year, charge for dematting and deshedding, and even behavior issues. If it takes you twice as long to get a dog groomed, you have to charge for that time. And a lot of groomers don't do it. So, you know, I love all you groomers to really think about what I'm saying. And I only say this because I want to see you do well. I want to see you make the money that you deserve, because we have a very, very hard job. I have been in the trenches with all of you. You know, when I started my mobile business, I didn't have one dog, not one pet. And I groomed everything, and I saw everything, and it wasn't easy. So you groomers out there, raise your prices every year, charge for extra services, and do away with those discounts. It's better for your business.
I agree. And, you know, as a management consultant for many years, we've done a lot of studies, and we actually showed that people that consistently want to use a coupon or they want a discount, they're shoppers. They're really not looking to be a loyal client to somebody.
Right.
And so the pet isn't accustomed to you, and you're putting effort into pleasing them, and they're going to go follow the next biggest discount.
Yeah,
so
and
that's
a lot of times they're going to complain. I mean, you know, I hate to say this, but, you know, you do your best with what you're given, and you put your heart and soul into it, and they complain. So these are not your customers. Customers that are looking for discounts and not on a schedule, these do not make ideal customers. You're absolutely right, Stephen.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about, to our listeners, what they can learn in your new book, The Successful Pet Groomer.
Well, you know, I did talk a little bit about it. I mean, I can teach you how to set up your business. Not only if you're a new groomer and you read this book, you will have a vision for how your business can be. If you have an existing business, you can take a look at your business and you can improve it. And as I said, you know, a lot of people have the book already. I've gotten a lot of feedback for it. Not only will you learn about how to run your business, how to create teamwork customers, you know, how to get your dogs on a schedule, you're also going to learn, and I think it's a big wake-up call when you read, there's 10 chapters in there on the occupational hazards of grooming. Anybody that reads my book is buying a mask and buying eye protection because, you know, you can get hurt in this business. You know, I've had a lot of people tell me, you know, after they hear me speak at a seminar or they read my book, you know what? They've always wanted to give up the big dogs, and somehow when I say it's okay, they do it. You know, if you feel in your heart you should not be grooming that big dog, let that customer go. This book is going to empower you to do things you never thought you could do. So in addition to, you know, really changing your habits in terms of occupational hazards of grooming, when you read the last part of the book about the 60-minute groom, you're going to learn a lot of information in there about bathing systems, about vac systems, about different products and tools and techniques. And, you know, it's basically I looked at my own business and I analyzed my business, and that is what's in the book, Stephen. And in the back, as I said, there's an appendix with all kinds of important forms. If you groomers out there are not asking your customers to sign a policy release form before you groom the dog, that would be something I would change immediately. In addition to that, I have a shave-down waiver that when I shave a dog down, they have to sign that because, you know, what happens when we shave dogs down. They sign the waiver. They read over it, and it talks about all the things that can happen when you shave a dog down. This way, if something happens after you shave the dog down, they've been made aware of all the risks up front. So, you know, I'd like to see, like, after you read the book, I'd like to see you go and make changes in your business. That's one of the chapters in the back of the book. It's called Challenges and Changes. I make a list of all the changes that you could make in your business, and then I challenge you to go out and tackle those changes. And a lot of people go out and do it, and which really makes me happy. So the book is really about just, you know, how to run a business, how to work smart, how to be safe. That's what the book is about, Stephen.
Great. And now let me ask you, what you got something going on with online seminars this year?
Yeah, I got involved with my dear friend Mary Aquendo, who's totally awesome. She got me on the Positive Instructional Training Seminar, and for the last 2 years, I've been giving an online webinar called The 60-Minute Health and Wellness Groom. Now, that is what the book is based on. The Successful Pet Groomer is based on that webinar, which is also a seminar that I give called the 60-Minute Health and Wellness Groom, but I'm actually changing the name to The Successful Pet Groomer because it's what the book is based on. So even though, for those of you that have seen that seminar, that webinar, I'm renaming it The Successful Pet Groomer. But yeah, I've been doing that for the last 2 years, Stephen. It's been great. I've had a lot of people on there with my webinars, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing those in the future. I'll have to let you know. But it was what I loved about doing it was it was something new in my career. I mean, I've had a great career. And one of the reasons why it's been so great is if I've had the opportunity to go out and do something, I went out and I made it happen. And when Mary offered that to me, well, I jumped at it. I got on board, and, I spent 2 years doing the online webinars, and that was a lot of fun.
Are you going to be at any trade shows for the remainder of this season?
Yep, I just got an email from Todd today from Barclay, and he asked me if I would come and speak at Rhode Island. So I am going to be doing my seminar there, the 60-Minute Health and Wellness Groom or the Successful Pet Groomer. whatever you want to call it, the same thing. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And you know what? I am loving the speaking. I mean, when I first got into it, I was pretty terrified. But you know what? I've worked at it. I've practiced. And now I really, really enjoy it. And I'm really looking forward to going to Rhode Island. Anybody that's out there within striking distance of the Rhode Island show, please go. It's a little show, but it's great. It's got a great variety of vendors there. You can get everything you need, and it's a small show. So you get to spend a lot of time meeting people, talking to people. So I'll be there, and please come out and see me and come to my seminar. It's going to be on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock.
Great. Take a moment here again to any of our callers. If you have a question for Ellen, just press 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will address you once I get a little message from you that you've put your hand up. So what's coming up in your future, do you think, next, Ellen? What are you still just having fun thinking about? You know, I might want to do this in the future. Some new ideas even?
Yes, I do. You know me. I really don't know how I do this, but I always have a lot of ideas. And, you know, I love to take an idea that I have about grooming and follow through with it. I just enjoy it so much. What I just did was this past Thursday, which even was my birthday, was I had a crew here, a real video crew. We had a sound guy, and we had an audio guy, and the monitors and everything. And I shot my seminar, because what I'd like to do is I'd like to, for those that can't go to a show, I'd like to offer that on my website. So I actually did, I did my seminar here in my house with a crew that's going to be edited now, and I'm really excited about that. I'm very happy about the way it came out, and I really enjoyed doing it. So that's something that I'm working on now. And I have a couple of things up my sleeve that I really can't say anything about right now. But, you know, in terms of grooming, my wheels are always turning. I'm always coming up with new things. And, of course, I'd love to write another book. You know, I actually have – I've been collecting information for 2 years for another book I'd like to write. So that's something that I'd like to tackle in the future. And, of course, the speaking and, you know, being on the Internet and going to the shows. And also, you know, I groom every day. So I keep pretty busy with all the things that I do as far as grooming goes.
Great. Hey, Ellen, why don't we, at this point, let people know which website to go to and or telephone number. What's your contact info for our listeners?
Okay. Well, if you'd like to learn more about me, and, you know, my products. I have a couple of books and some DVDs and things like that. And just to, even if you want to send me an email, you know, I mentor a lot of groomers, and that's one of the things that I've enjoyed doing. You know, I have a lot of people send me Facebook messages, email messages. I do talk with people on the phone. I enjoy hearing from groomers. You know, you're welcome to send me an email. But if you're interested in my books or anything, you can go to www.gomobileandsucceed.com. It's just spelled out, gomobileandsucceed.com. So if you're interested, you can also learn more about me. And the website is there if anybody would like to go to that.
Okay. And we've also got links at Groomer Talk. Anyone there, just go into the various sections, especially the mobile section, but even our book section. And you'll
Thank
be,
you, Stephen.
Yeah, you'll be finding links there. Some of them are up this month. Everything's up today, but where you can have support.
Because you're expanding your inventory.
Oh, I can't hear you, Stephen. Come back. Come back to
okay.
me.
No,
there you go.
There was
I
just,
got you.
There's been so much that you've been doing where you've just been expanding your presence there to cover all your new
products.
I know.
I know. Don't even. I surprise myself sometimes with all these things I do, but I just enjoy it so much. I tell people I just can't help it. This is just when I sat down, as I said, in 2005 and I Googled dog grooming, I did feel like I got hit by a bolt of lightning, and nothing has changed for me. I'm still the same way I was way back then. I just love it so much. That's all.
Okay, Ellen. Well, that's gomobileandsucceed.com. And also, those of you who come to listen to the radio show, there'll be a link there as well. So be sure to go and check the website out. I want to thank you for being with us today, Ellen. I don't see any hands up at this time, but we'll send them off to your website.
Okay, great.
Okay, so
well,
pleased
Stephen,
to have you with us again.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it so much. I just want to say hello to all my internet friends, and I'm sure I'll see you online and or at the shows. So thank you for having me, Stephen.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you, Ellen.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.